Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to have your company as we have a new edition of All Sides Weekend Books. Now, if you are stuck at home, if you're feeling a little bit down and a bit isolated, a book can be your best friend. And this program is for you. If you're looking for wonderful new reads, get comfortable and stay with us for the next hour. I am delighted to welcome, as I always do, WOSU's book critic Cassie Rose. Her blog is thelongestchapter.com. It is regularly updated, and it is for anyone who loves to read. Good morning, Cassie Rose.
Good morning, Christopher. It's good to be here.
Good to have you with us. I hope you're safe and well, and you have a list of recommendations for all of us who are stuck at home. Chris Hickey is here. Chris is the Youth Services Manager at the Whetstone Branch of the Columbus Metropolitan Library and comes on the show to bring us, among other things, the library's latest quick picks. Welcome, Chris Hickey.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Chris Hickey, the news is a little bit mixed with the library system these days. Why don't you fill us in briefly about, the shutdown that's around the corner?
So, yes, lots of changes. But starting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., we will not be open to the public. So we are bringing back, we will just be curbside only. So now what that means is that customers will not be able to enter the building. But we can bring things out to your cars. We can do all kinds of document services. So if you need to fax, scan, we can help you with wireless printing. We can still help you with those things. You would just call us from the parking lot or the front door, and we would come outside and assist you. So it's similar to basically what we were doing when we first opened and people were not able to come into the building. So we're doing this as a response to the City of Columbus and Franklin County's joint health advisory.
Chris Hickey, the only difference is that now the weather is cold and you and your colleagues, God bless you, are going to have to bundle up to run into parking lots with bags of books and materials for people. I thank you for that. We all do. You know, there's a reason why the Columbus library system is the best in the country, and that's one of those reasons. So thank you for that.
Well, we'll be bundled up and we'll be ready to go.
So you can still get all your library materials. You just can't go in the building, but they will bring them to you.
Yes, correct. And if you, even if you don't have something reserved, you can come, you can call us and say, I'm in the mood for whatever you're in the mood for, and we'll find books. And we will still have the quick picks. So if you want to know what the quick picks are, just ask us over the phone and we'll bring them out to you.
I'm going to ask you in just a moment. Cassie Rose, the big news is twofold. The New York Times has just come out today with the 100 notable books of 2020, and the Man Booker Prize Awards has been announced. And somebody dear to both of us, Shuggie Bain, won for fiction.
Yes, Douglas Stewart won it. I was so happy to see that. And what a thrill also to see that this Booker Prize finally awarded it to a British person, because, you know, they now have take on American authors too, which has been very controversial. But Douglas Stewart is from Glasgow, Scotland, which is where his book takes place.
He's now living in New York, but if you don't know this novel, Shuggie Bain, which is a kind of a tricky title, S-H-U-G-G-I-E, Bain, B-A-I-N, by Stewart. Go get it from Chris Hickey at the Columbus Metropolitan Library. Cassie Rose, let me ask you for a recommendation. What's something wonderful that you've read that will be good for somebody who's at home?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and recommend a book that I haven't read yet, but I'm anticipating to read this weekend. And also because it just won the National Book Award for Fiction on Wednesday night. It's called Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu. And the reason I'm recommending it is because the Washington Post has said this is one of the funniest books that has come out this year. And right now I could use funny.
Yes.
And so I'm very much looking forward to this. It's about a young man who is a film actor. He's Asian, he's in San Francisco, but he always gets the part of generic Asian man, background Asian man, and he really wants to be Kung Fu guy. And so the book is a satire on Hollywood. It's also a focus on stereotyping the Chinese. And I've just read such great things about it. It's also written in the format of a screenplay. So I have a feeling it's going to be very fast-paced, very engaging, and funny. And as I said, I'm looking forward to a funny book right now.
Well, that's going to be a lot of laughs. Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu, which you can probably get from Chris Hickey at the Columbus Metropolitan Library. A recommendation from WOSU book critics Cassie Rose. Chris Hickey, I happen to know that if you want to read President Obama's new memoir, it's currently, I think, 850 on the list.
But it is a quick pick.
Is it really?
Yesterday, we had some.
No kidding.
Stop by. Ask us if we have the quick pick, because we did buy a lot of quick pick copies. It might be your lucky day, and we can bring it out to you.
Just review,
so it is a quick pick.
Just review for us very quickly, and then give us a choice of what the quick pick is, and then give us a recommendation.
So the quick pick, so these are popular books like President Obama's book that have long hold lists. And what we do is we buy copies that don't go out on reserve. And so those copies stay in our building until someone comes in and picks them up. So you could be number 700 on hold for a book that you've been waiting for, and you walk into our building and there it is. You check out the book and then it disappears from your hold list. So that's what a quick pick is hopefully we can surprise and delight you when you walk in the door and you can get the one thing that you've been waiting for.
So recommend. Go ahead.
Sorry. Here's a book that is on our quick pick right now. It just came out this week, and I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this because it is absolutely delightful. It is called Frontier Follies, and it is by Ree Drummond, who is known as the Pioneer Woman. So lots of people love her. She's got her cooking show and all kinds of things, a magazine. And this latest book, she has all kinds of just funny and endearing stories. And if you want to travel somewhere in your mind, you can go out to her ranch. And she's just a lot of fun. So one story that I read that I thought was really funny is titled, All I Wanted Was a Donut. And so she's doing some holiday shopping with her husband, and they are, as they're driving into town, you know, she says, oh, my pants are tight. You know, I've got to do something about this. And so they, you know, discuss, okay, let's start this, you know, workout regimen. We'll get up at 5 a.m. They make a plan. And then they stop at a convenience store to get some coffee. And she sees an apple fritter. And she loves apple fritters. And so she's, oh, I'm going to go get an apple fritter. And she walks over to the case and tugs at the door. And she tries to open it the wrong way. And the glass door shatters. You know, makes this huge noise, glasses everywhere. She's mortified. And so, you know, the staff come over, are you okay? I want to help clean up. No, you don't have to help clean up. It's going to be fine. And then she does this very human thing that I know a number of us might do. She still reaches in the case to get the apple fritter.
And are you kidding? Of course.
Yes. And the store employee says, ma'am, you can't eat that. It's covered in glass. And so she has this double mortifying moment, and her husband is just, you know, getting ready to pay for the coffee and just shaking his head at her. And so
I don't know
all of those delightful antidotes, and it has short chapters, so for people who, you know, just want something quick before they go to bed and they don't want to, you know, get too involved, this is going to have lots of short vignettes. And so definitely a fun read, and I'm enjoying it myself. And that's Frontier Follies by Ree Drummond, the Pioneer Woman.
Thank you for that. I'm going to have visions now of apple fritters, and I would pick every bit of glass out myself with my bare hands and still eat the thing. I think we can agree that these coming weeks are not the time to stop. Not that we don't all love a healthy lifestyle, you know, to be going overboard, as it were. There you are. I do have one recommendation I want to share that came in from full disclosure, my daughter, but it's a young adult series called Ascendant, a Dragon Rider Fantasy by Michael R. Miller. It's great for people who are into disability advocacy and rights. Also recommended is the Road to Valhalla series by Melanie Karsak. Those are two series with a young adult thrust to them that are, I'm sure, available at the Columbus Metropolitan Library, where if you have Cassie Rose and you can't get to the library, that's good enough to talk to Cassie Rose and go to her blog, thelongestchapter.com. Give us another recommendation, Cassie. We need to be reading.
I'm going to recommend a book that came out in October called The Last Interview by Eshkol Nevo. It's translated from, he's an Israeli author, so it's translated from the Hebrew. It's a really interesting and involving and engaging book. And the premise is that an author is answering interview questions from a website journalist. And he goes off script, which is what makes this book so interesting. So he may be asking questions like, when do you write? You know, all those basic questions. How do you write? You know, what is your writing room like? Things like that. You know, if you weren't a writer, what would you be? And, you know, he answers the question, but he goes into his life with his marriage, his children, a friend of his who has disappeared that he is eternally looking for, another friend who is in the hospital that he visits. He also writes about his tours for his translated books and how he's always put in, you know, two-bit hotels and the journalists aren't interested in him. And so it digs, as you keep reading, it digs deeper and deeper into his life. So it's one of those books that it slowly grips you. And it gripped me at the point where the question was, what are you ashamed of? Because the journalist starts to ask questions that are a little bit off kilter too. And when he answers that question and talks about a time he was hiking in Bolivia when he was young with these two best friends that he has, and this moral mistake that he and his friend make, you can feel it as if you yourself would have done it when you were in your 20s. So it's very engaging as you keep reading and getting the questions and finding him just going off script and finding him to be very compelling. The other thing is that I have discovered that, you know, this author admits to being the grandson of a late prime minister. I think it's the third Israeli prime minister. And then I found out that the author indeed is the grandson of a former prime minister, the same one. So it's his alter ego. And that I found to be very fascinating too.
What's the name of the author again?
The author is Eshkol, E-S-H-K-O-L. Last name is Nevo, N-E-V-O.
Nevo, it's called The Last Interview.
Mm-hmm.
The latest recommendation from Cassie Rose. What's on your blog right now?
I just posted a blog about the winning authors this week for the Booker. We talked about Shuggie Bain and also the National Book Awards were announced on Wednesday night. And, you know, for the first time ever, I mean, they streamed it live.
Oh.
So it was fascinating and it was free, although they're asking for donations because this is a big fundraiser for them. But this is an annual event where it's just a posh event of expensive tables and only the literary, you know, glittering people are there, the authors, the agents, the publishers. You know, it's not something that we'd be able to see. And I watched this in real time as the authors found out, everyone found out who won. And just like this author, Charles Yu of Interior Chinatown, I mean, he didn't expect to win. So he had no prepared remarks. And so suddenly there he is on video. And he was quite charming.
Who's the writer you and I interviewed many years ago who came to town, very famous author, who talked about that and said, there you sit with gravy and stuff spilled all over your blouse and they call your name and you have to swallow and get up and talk about what went on. It's mortifying.
It's the author who wrote Possession.
Right, yes.
And the Children's Hour.
A.S. Byatt.
Yep, there we go.
A.S. Byatt.
Yes. So that's very much what the ceremonies were like. Well, this time it was very well done. And it because it was happening in Washington, D.C., Jason Reynolds was the host. And then they had people all over the world because there was also the Award of Translated Literature, which is the book Tokyo Uneo Ueno Station, I think it is, is a book I've been meaning to read.
On that note, we have to take a quick break. We will be back in just a moment with more from Cassie Rose and more quick picks from the Columbus Library. Don't go away.
Thank you.
We are back with today's edition of All Sides Weekend Books. I'm Christopher Purdy with Cassie Rose, who is WOSU's book critic. Her blog is thelongestchapter.com. And Chris Hickey, who is the youth services manager at the Whetstone branch of the Columbus Metropolitan Library. She and her colleagues after today will be bundling up and bringing services to your cars. They don't stop over there at the library, even if COVID keeps the doors to the buildings themselves locked. Here's a question related to Quick Picks, Chris Hickey. I'm reading John Grisham's latest novel, which is a quick pick. I got it from Whetstone, from your
yes.
display. And I'm loving it because I like John Grisham, and it's a wonderful escape story. He's a great storyteller. The name Mercy is in the title. Every time I'm immersed in a book, I forget the damn title. I don't know what that is. If it's my age,
I believe it is. A Time for Mercy.
A Time for Mercy. It's a great book, and it's a quick pick, by the way. If you want to get lost in something, you can't do much better than John Grisham, I don't think. But there you go. Give us another hot quick pick, Chris.
All right. So this one, Cassie mentioned Jason Reynolds. So let's talk about Jason Reynolds. So we are doing a program called One Book, One Community, along with 8 other library systems in Franklin County. And we're doing this about the book Stamped. It was stamped by Jason Reynolds. Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, Anti-Racism, and You. And this is a remix of Ibram X. Kendi's book Stamped from the Beginning, The History of Racism in America.
You just sent me that in the mail yesterday. I just got that in the mail yesterday from the library. Thank
good.
You.
I'm glad
Thank
you got it. Greg Dodd wanted to make sure
Thank
that you
Greg.
That.
Yes.
So this book, he basically has taken this much larger book, which is just shy of 600 pages, and remixed it for younger readers. Now, when I say it's for younger readers, it is really for everyone. I read this book, and I thought it was outstanding. So you could read Stamp from the Beginning, which is a longer book, or you could read Jason Reynolds' version, which is about 250 pages. But it talks about the history of racism in America. He talks about the differences between segregationists, assimilationists, and then the anti-racist, which is a person who actively promotes racial equality. And he had this quote. I was listening to some interviews by Jason Reynolds, and he said, "History is not a bubble. It is perennial, and it runs continuously through our lives." And I thought that very much encapsulates the book. So, it brings his wit to it, so it's very accessible. It's very interesting. I flew through the book. It's a quick read. And we're going to be having, through the library, we're going to have virtual book talks and discussions. And then on January 24th, you'll want to put this in your calendars, at 4 o'clock, we will have a virtual talk with Jason Reynolds. And that will be free to the public.
So when you talk about this new endeavor, One Book, One Community, you're talking about books that are relevant to us all these days, and then you sort of include discussion and maybe an author talk. Am I doing that right?
That's absolutely right. And we'll have all those details on our website and shared through our social media.
And how often do you choose titles for this?
This is a big first for us with this virtual push. So I haven't heard if we'll do more. I hope that we will. I'm sure that's something we'll discuss and figure out.
The book you want to look for is called Stamped by Jason Reynolds, and it sounds to me like something that's important for all of us to read these days. So I'm glad to have my copy. Thank you all very much for that. Cassie Rose and Chris Hickey, as we continue to talk, I want to just put in your minds for later the E word, escape. But let's talk about, Cassie Rose, some other of the recommendations you have for us, because you're never wrong.
I am going to recommend a classic book that I've been meaning to read for a long time. And I think a lot of people are reading books during this time that are on their reading table. Anyway, this book is called Mrs. Caliban by Rachel Ingalls. And it was published in 1983 and reissued in 2017. And it kept coming back to me like, I should read it. But I kept putting it off because it's got a kind of absurd premise. But it is a beloved classic, and I see why, because I loved this book. And Mrs. Caliban is a bored housewife, and she is listening to her radio, or she's aboard, and she's cleaning the kitchen, she's vacuuming, she's kind of like a Donna Reed, and she hears on the radio that a sea creature has escaped from a research institute, a large, dangerous, web-footed creature. Well, one night she is fixing a dinner for her husband and a business client, and this creature appears at her kitchen door. And he looks pretty human to her. Anyway, she just offers him the celery she's putting into the salad. Well, and I know you're going to have to keep with me on this. She has a love affair with this sea creature. And, you know, when I read that, I was like, in the description, I was like, no, I'm out. I'm out. That is too absurd. But this book is brilliant with its social commentary, because she hides him in her guest bedroom, unbeknownst to Fred, her husband. And the creature's name is Larry. And, you know, anything that she brings to him, he will look at it and say, well, is this important? Like, she'll tell him the stories about the day with her best friend, Eileen. It's a short novella. And, you know, some people, as I said, I don't typically go for the absurd. But ultimately, this book is about trust. Trust in relationships and trusting in the people who you think that you know. I can only say that also that you have to stick with it. It's a little over 100 pages. It's one of those books when I put it down, I just said out to the room, I love this book. This is just brilliant. So that's my recommendation. Mrs. Caliban by
Mrs. Caliban, not Caliban with a C, right? Hence the
correct
allusion to the sea creature, like by Rachel Ingalls.
Correct.
And that made me think of a book that I just finished. It was, and I don't know why I couldn't put this down, but I couldn't. It was the kind of book you put it down and you really look forward to getting back to it. And of all things, it's the backstory to Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen's classic. It's called The Other Bennet Sister. It's about Mary, who's kind of the ugly duckling among the five Bennet sisters, and what happens to her. It's a new book just published, and it was a lot of fun. So if you want something fun that you can kind of lose yourself in, the other Bennet sister. I forgot the author's name, but wasn't a quick pick, Chris Hickey. But there it was on one of your tables in the Whetstone Library. So I was glad to have that. So what else, Chris Hickey? What's hot? What else is hot?
So you said you want E for escapism.
Yeah.
So I have one for you.
Good.
So coming out next Tuesday, there's a new Nora Roberts called The Awakening.
Yeah.
So this is a new trilogy, a new fantasy trilogy for her. So this is the first book in the series. And your daughter might like it. It has dragons in it. So
okay,
this is definitely one to put aside. So it's about a 20-something girl named Breen Kelly. And she has a job she doesn't like. She's drowning in student debt. And then one day, as she is... she's house-sitting for her mother, this mysterious wind comes and knocks papers onto the floor, and she discovers that her father, who left when she was 10 and returned to Ireland, has been putting money away from her, and she has $4 million.
Ha ha!
Ha ha! So she goes to Ireland with her very fun best friend, Marco, looking for answers. And at the same time, she's having these dreams of dragons, and we get the sense that there's another realm involved. And I'm reading this book right now, so I haven't seen the two crossover yet. But it is just fun. And when you talk about escapism and how books take you places, when I was reading it last night, there's a scene where she and her friend are in an Irish pub. And she's talking about, you know, drinking that half pint of Smithwick's. And, you know, they're ordering their dinner and, you know, that just the sights and the sounds of an Irish pub. And I just felt like I was there for a minute. And I just find those books very those types of books very comforting, especially right now. So this is a fun escapism. It's fantasy. And it's Nora Roberts. So it's like a quick, she's a great storyteller. So it's really fun.
What's the title?
The title is The Awakening.
The Awakening by Nora Roberts. That'll be a quick pick from the library, right?
Correct. It'll be a quick pick, and it will be available Tuesday. So if you drive up Tuesday morning, ask, and chances are we will have one.
Now, Nora Roberts, I know, are there some authors, and you don't have to get specific with titles, but if you were thinking about escape and just like, you know, just it's cold and gray outside and you can't go anywhere and you can't have Thanksgiving with your family, you know, who should you be reading to just go somewhere else?
Someone that I've really enjoyed is Jenny Colgan. And okay. She's one of those people that she writes romantic comedies. But there's food involved. So there's always like a bakery or Ooh. A chocolatier or something. And that's been really fun. I read a book called The Little Beach Street Bakery, where she goes to somewhere in Cornwall and she has a pet puffin and she bakes bread. And I really enjoyed that. Kevin Kwan is another one. Kevin Kwan, who wrote Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, of course.
That is beautiful escapism because he takes you to these exotic places that even without COVID, most people probably don't visit. So, yeah, Kevin Kwan is great escapism. And he's so good at describing the things that he sees and the places. And it's just so much fun.
Also, thanks to our producer, Scott Good, I happen to know that The Other Bennett Sister is by Janice Hadlow. So that is a book I got at the Columbus at the Whetstone branch of the library and enjoyed very much, about kind of a backstory to Pride and Prejudice. Cassie Rose, you're up.
Oh, gosh. There's a couple of books here. I think I'm going to talk about a nonfiction book that I read and loved, and it's a little sort of off the beaten path for me. It's called On Not Being Someone Else, Tales of Our Unled Lives by Andrew Miller. And it's oddly compelling and also refreshing. He basically is exploring the concept of when you get into middle age, you realize, you look back and see the roads that you didn't take. So he talks about Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken. He also talks about the movie that we're all going to be seeing in the next couple of weeks, It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh.
And yes, and it's not a book about regret. It's not a serious book. He says it's muddy and it's complex, but he said, I really wanted to look into this concept. And he doesn't interview people, but he goes to books. So he talks about Persuasion by Jane Austen, and he talks about a lot of books by Dickens, certainly Great Expectations, and David Copperfield. And you don't have to have read these books. It's not academic, but the way he talks about it and writes is very accessible. And it's this refreshing delve into this concept of when you're in your probably 40s, 50s, 60s, you begin to look back on the decisions that you made, the roads you didn't take, and how to basically look at that into your life. Because, you know, when we're in our 20s, we have the world open to us and all these choices. And you don't realize then that you are chiseling your life. And ultimately, he says that the decisions that we didn't make are just as much a part of our identity as the ones that we did make.
Give us intriguing. I was listening to some of the references to other books he was writing, but give us the title and author again of that, because I want to get that book.
It's called On Not Being Someone Else, Tales of Our Unled Lives by Andrew H. Miller.
Someone Else. Got it. Folks, I want to ask for some phone calls. If you have books that you can recommend for wonderful escape, why don't you let us know? 614-292-8513. We're looking to escape here. 614-292-8513, or even better, send an email to allsides@wosu.org and let us keep the escape going. I'm writing down that Miller book. Cassie Rose, guess what else I've been doing? I'm still on my Palliser novels kick with Trelope. And I'm in the fifth one now, and thank God there are six of them. So I'm getting there. But it's kind of a do or die kind of a goal I set for myself to read the whole series. And we love them all, but you really have to be fascinated by Victorian era politics, I do have to say.
So is Barchester Towers part of that?
No, that's a separate series, and that's wonderful. That's about the life of a small town vicar in rural England. This is very political. This is London. This is get in there and fight in the House of Commons and the House of Lords, and there's murder trials, and there's question fortunes and jewelry, et cetera. But it's, you know, it's an undertaking. Let's put it that way. It's an undertaking.
Yeah, like, aren't each of them like 300 to 500 pages?
No, Cassie, each of them are about 800 pages, to be thank you very much, to be very honest with you. And I don't want phone calls saying, you shouldn't be putting down Trollope. I'm not. I've set a goal for myself, and I'm doing it. It's just that, you know, there are 40 and 50-page chunks of this where, I mean, you really have to know your Victorian-era British history, and that's not something that I'm all that conversant with yet. We have a call from Alan in Clintonville who has a recommendation. Hello, Alan. You're on.
I am hooked on John Sanford's Prey books. He started writing these in mid-80s, I think. And all of his titles have Prey, P-R-E-Y, in them. They're about Lucas Davenport, who's a Minnesota cop. They start out with somebody gets murdered, and then later on somebody else gets murdered, and he's trying to solve the thing, and he's good at it. But he made his millions on computer programming, so he's driving all over Minnesota in a Porsche, and they are just so good, and they're funny, too. They have just interchanges between the cops that are just hilarious in the book. But the stories are great, too.
So you're looking for John Sanford, right? That's the author?
Yes.
And the series of... When you say Prey, you mean like Birds of Prey, P-R-E-Y, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The second word in all the titles is Prey.
Alan,
but
thank you.
They are outstanding.
Thank you so much for the recommendation. I appreciate that. We're looking for your favorite... escapes. If you have your favorite escapes here, give us a call at 614-292-8513 or go to allsides@wosu.org. I'm Christopher Purdy. We're going to take a break and come back for the final segment of All Sides Weekend Books. Don't go away. We are back for the final segment of today's All Sides Weekend Books. I'm Christopher Purdy. I'm the morning host on Classical 101. Every few weeks, they let me walk across the hall and sit in this chair and talk to you and help convene a conversation about great books with Cassie Rose, WOSU's book critic, and Chris Hickey, who is the youth services manager at the Whetstone branch of the Columbus Library. Cassie Rose's blog is thelongestchapter.com. And Cassie, if I'm right, your blog is now covering all of the latest National Book and Booker Prize Award winners. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is.
Okay, that's the place to go for all of that information. All of those books are well worth reading. And Chris Hickey is giving us the quick picks. All of the phone lines are busy. I asked for some calls and we're getting them. So I do ask everybody to be concise so we can get to as many people as possible. Kathy is calling from Mount Vernon. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, my favorite escape is a fantasy series called The Belgariad. There's about 5 books. It's about a young wizard. It was written in the 70s, pre-Harry Potter. It's also wonderful on audiobook. I've listened to it and read it countless times.
The Belgariad, is it like sci-fi?
Fantasy, yeah.
Terrific.
It's more like knights and lords and ladies, but he's a wizard.
Well, thank you very much. And the author is David Ettinger. Thank you very much, Kathy Mount Vernon, for that recommendation. Appreciate that very much. Diana from Lancaster is calling.
Hi,
go ahead, Diana.
The book I'm currently reading is a series of essays, and it's called Cat, Is Art Spelled Wrong?
Really?
Yeah, and it's edited by Carolyn Casey, and it's basically about how cat videos kind of took over the internet and what that says about us. And if you get the electronic version, it has all these links to cat videos.
Diane, you know what? I've become one of those old men who puts cat videos on Facebook. It's terrible. I've been doing that, you know, and I kind of know better, but you do get a lot of hits. Cat is Art Spelled Wrong. That's the title, right?
Yeah, and it's by Coffee House Press. It's a nonprofit publisher.
That's one of the best titles I've heard in a long time. Thank you so much for the recommendation. Much appreciated. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a recommendation from Chris in Clintonville about David McCullough. Yes, go ahead. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I do not tend to read nonfiction, but I'm a big fan. I do not tend to read fiction, but I'm a big fan of the nonfiction history books of David McCullough. And if people would know David as the narrator of the American Experience show on PBS, and particularly... most recently, the book he wrote called The Pioneers, which is about the founding of the first colony in the Northwest Territory, that being Marietta.
Yeah.
And it draws you in. It helps us to educate ourselves about the community we live in. And his book on John Adams that came out about 20 years ago is also a beautiful love story of the relationship between John and Abigail Adams, because he cites their letters liberally.
I don't know if you're familiar with his book on the Wright brothers too, which was also wonderful.
I love that book.
Wasn't that great? I
was actually confirming the author. I'm standing in front of my bookshelf to make sure I had the right author.
He actually gave their sister her life back because she was a big part of their success. So, yes, thank you very much for that recommendation of David McCullough.
David McCullough. Be well.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much. Nathan in Clintonville has a recommendation of a Baroque cycle. Intriguing title. Hi, Nathan.
Yes.
Nathan, turn down the music a little bit, because I can't hear you.
It's off.
Okay. Go ahead.
Pure escapism, as far as I'm concerned, the Baroque cycle, it's set in the Restoration England. It's ostensibly about the... intellectual battle between Newton and Leibniz for who invented the calculus, but it's so much more than that. Politics, religion, science, alchemy, piracy, money. If you're into historical fiction, this is something you should look into.
Is it a series or a single title?
Yeah, it's a series.
Great.
It's probably eight books, and it's also on Audible. With the narrator is great on Audible. Yeah, if you can't sit down and read for 100 or so hours, let's do it on Audible. But that's it.
We thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. And we've got one more recommendation. This is from Liz in Gambier, who is recommending a book I actually read and loved. Go ahead, Liz.
Oh, hi. I have two for escapes. One is a series of novels called Dance to the Music of Time,
right,
by Anthony Powell. If you like Brideshead Revisited, you will love these books. They are my one thing that I just want to let people know. The very first one is probably the one that you have to hang in there with, and then you become totally engaged with the lives of a series of men who are at school together and their wives, and has one of the best female villains out there. The other is, if you're a mystery writer, this is an old series, but they really make you think like you've been there. A woman named Dana Stabenow, who writes a series of mysteries that are set in Alaska. And her detective is a woman named Kate Shugak, who is also an Inuit, and it's like reading the Jim Cheena mysteries in the Southwest. So if you want to go to Britain and we can't get there, or if you feel like Alaska, either of these will take you there.
Thank you very much, Liz, for the recommendation, and I
You're
second
welcome.
The recommendation to Dance of the Music
oh,
of Time.
So good.
That's all the calls we can take right now. I thank everybody who's calling. Cassie Rose is here, WOSU's book critic, as is Chris Hickey from the Columbus Library. I want to make sure I get at least one more recommendation of each of you. Cassie Rose, how about you?
Oh, I think in terms of escape, I am going to talk about Dorothy Hughes and her mysteries, because I think, at least for me, that getting back into traditional mysteries are much better for me than going into the more current ones that tend to be have a lot of violence in them. So, and Dorothy B. Hughes, one of her best books is In a Lonely Place. I mean, you will not put that down. And the one that I recently read by her was Dread Journey, which is a a train going from a bunch of Hollywood people on a train going across the country. And the thing is with Dorothy Hughes, you always know either who the murderer is or who is going to be murdered or whatever right from the outset. But it's then she grabs you by all of the intricacies of trying to figure out what the end is, because the people on the train in this book, Dread Journey, they know someone's going to be murdered. They know who is going to be murdered, but they just don't know how it's going to be pulled off. I like the way that she writes. I like the fact that it's, you know, they become page turners and they're kind of like, well, I don't want to compare it to Agatha Christie because I don't know Agatha Christie as well as I know Dorothy Hughes, but they're just very enjoyable mysteries and they get you thinking too. But I would start with In a Lonely Place and then I would read this one that I just finished, Dread Journey.
Is Dorothy Hughes an author we've discussed before? She writes a lot of noir stuff based in California. Is that who that is? She was writing in the 40s and 50s, I think. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, you're on spot with that. And the one that's noir in California is In a Lonely Place.
That's right. That was made into a movie with Robert Mitchum.
A young
Robert Mitchum who had the fedora hat on, you know, and the suits and everything else. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that we talked about that before because the books were being reissued after many years by Dorothy Hughes.
Yes, and actually the Otto Penzler is bringing out what he calls the American Mystery Classics. And I'm starting to read through a lot of them and they're just wonderful books. And if you go to the Mysterious Bookshop, their website, you can find all of these American classics that they're putting out there. And a lot of them are Dorothy Hughes. And I'm looking at the back of the book to see if I can find others. But also, you get the book and most of them are signed by Otto Penzler, who is the, you know, grand master of American mystery classics.
Dorothy Hughes is an author. I assume she's, you know, she passed. I'm assuming she's no longer living, but she's somebody, a very compelling American author worth knowing better. So check that out. Chris Hickey will help you with that at the Columbus Metropolitan Library. I've had a recommendation from Gemma McCluckey for all of those who are discovering the joys of backyard birdhouses, The Bird Way by Jennifer Ackerman, the latest in research that's debunking long-held beliefs about bird behaviors and abilities. I know Ann Fisher does regular shows with about bird watching that are very, very popular shows. There's a lot of interest out there, so maybe this book, The Bird Way, will be of interest. Also, The Last Kings of Shanghai, a nonfiction book recommended by Stephen Handler. I thank everybody who's been calling and emailing with their recommendations. We are still... Okay, Chris Hickey, we said earlier capital E escape. We can do small E escape if you want, as we talk about another quick pick from the library.
How about O for optimism?
Great, okay.
Can we do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
So a quick pick that just came out this week. We have a new memoir by Michael J. Fox.
Oh.
And Michael J. Fox is, of course, Marty McFly from Back to the Future and Alex P. Keaton from Family Ties. And his book is called No Time Like the Future, An Optimist Considers Mortality. And so as Michael J. Fox is known for being a great optimist, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's at the very young age of 29 and has written other books about his experiences. And so this one is a little bit different, where he was dealing with a spinal surgery that could have left him paralyzed. And then after that, he fell and shattered his arm. And in that moment, he thought, I can't find a bright side. You know, what do I do? And so this book is basically about how do you pick yourself up when you are in your lowest moment. So it still has a lot of his humor. He calls it a cranky book. But, you know, Michael J. Fox cranky is not like most people's cranky. It's still very still very uplifting. So he, you know, tells great stories. These have short chapters, just like the Pioneer Woman, Frontier Follies book. So you can get little chunks. And he talks about going on vacation, you know, with his family. And, you know, he's waiting at the bar while his family are doing water sports. And he's hanging out with Keith Richards, who calls him Foxy.
Rooks.
That's his nickname for him. So he, you know, he tells the story about how he's like, I'm in my 40s, you know, in his 40s, he decides to take up golf, which was challenging for several reasons. You know, he was older and he had Parkinson's, and he thought, am I delusional? But he did it anyway. And so it's just, it's an uplifting, fantastic read. Even if you're not a huge fan of Michael J. Fox, he's a great storyteller and writer, and it's just like an uplifting good read.
He also continues to act. I mean, he hasn't stopped acting. There was a time when he was very seriously afflicted with Parkinson's. I think he's got some control back from medication, but he continued to work.
He did, and he tells a story that I read in People magazine about him, that he keeps his diction and his projection in his voice by yelling tongue twisters.
Wow.
So he shouts tongue twisters, and that helps him maintain control so that he can speak his lines.
When you say optimism, you aren't kidding, are you? That is called...
No, he's very optimistic.
No Time Like the Future by Michael J. Fox. I've written that one down. I'll be on your website in a few minutes, Chris Hickey, to get that from the Library Quick Pick. Cassie Rose, your blog is thelongestchapter.com. You have a lot to cover. You've been covering a lot with the Man Booker Prize Awards and the National Book Awards. All of these are books with an imprimatur that you should read them because you won't put them down. Today's New York Times, by the way, if you go on the New York Times website, anybody, you will find their 100 best books of 2020, from which they will begin winnowing down between now and the end of the year. Cassie Rose, give us another recommendation, New York Times or not.
I'm going to recommend a book that just came out a couple weeks ago. It's called One Night, Two Souls Went Walking by Ellen Cooney. It's Kirkus Reviews says this is the perfect pandemic read.
Oh.
And it takes place over one night, and it's about an interfaith chaplain who is doing her hospital rounds, and she's and how she is connecting to all of her patients. And she's a very soothing personality, but she also has a dog with her, and it's about that night, but also about some it's hard to describe, but there are some souls that she is connecting to. It is supposed to be just a very, I haven't read it yet because I just got it. But I'm really looking forward to it because it has gotten such good reviews. And because of what Kirkus said, the perfect novel to combat pandemic angst.
One Night, Two Souls Went Walking, which is another great title, like cat is art spelled backwards. Again, Cassie, tell us the author again.
It's Ellen Cooney, C-O-O-N-E-Y.
Okay. We have 2 minutes. That means you each get a quick pick recommendation to give us for 30 seconds or less. Chris Hickey, one more from you.
Ready Player 2 by Ernest Klein comes out on Tuesday. And if you loved Ready Player 1, this has more 80s nostalgia, and there's a new challenge, and the game Oasis is even more addictive and amazing. So fans of that, and Will Wheaton, if you're an audiobook fan, Will Wheaton does read this audiobook as well.
And
so
if,
Ready Player 2.
And if you are hearing that the libraries are shutting down, that doesn't mean their services are stopping. It means that after today, the buildings are no longer accessible, but you can still get your books and your materials and your printing services. Go on the library's website. They'll bring them things to your car in your parking lot. Appreciate the good folks who are doing that in often cold weather bundled up. Thank you, Chris Hickey, and all of your colleagues for continuing to keep us reading. Cassie Rose, one more quick recommendation.
I'm just going to recommend that people go to thelongestchapter.com and look at the book for Translated Literature, Tokyo Ueno Station.
You should go to that website every week anyway, thelongestchapter.com. Chris Hickey, thank you very much. The Youth Services Manager, Whetstone Branch of the Columbus Library. Cassie Rose is WOSU's book critic. Her blog is thelongestchapter.com. I'm Christopher Purdy. I appreciate very much Erin Esmont's patience. She is the producer of All Sides Weekend, All Sides with Ann Fisher, along with Matthew Grant. And thank you, Scott Good, for running the board and for sending me very, very naughty emails. No, very nice emails. Thank you very much. Thank you all. Stay safe and well. Happy holidays and keep reading.